Blog Talk Radio.
Hear me, my friend that always does a, what is it called, a sound check for me. She'd be busy on the weekends. I don't know what's going on with Mary. When she come on the show, we're going to talk shit. But anyway, good morning. I hope you guys can hear me. And if for some reason you can't, well, at least I know I'm talking to myself. But gosh, welcome, welcome, welcome. What day is it and who am I? Let's see. Let's start with the show. Welcome to Looking for My Give a Fuck. Epiphany. My word. I can't get them out already. I just started. Anyway, episode 70. Can you guys believe it? Episode 70. Oh, yeah. I don't even know what I'm going to talk about today, but I do have family on my heart. I do have a heart for all of you who think I don't have a heart. And so we're going to talk about some family stuff and some love stuff and whatever else comes up within this next 29, 28 minutes. Wow, we're getting close. Oh, what is this show about? What's the purpose of the show? How about this? How about this being the 70th? You know what? Let me start. Let me drink some water here. Hold on, everybody. I'm sorry. That's good. This is show 70. Actually, it's the real show 70. Sometimes I was saying I would go back and forth if I missed this show or something like that, but Blog Talk kind of keeps up with the actual shows that you do. So this is actual show 70. And we always talk about, well, I do at the beginning, where this came from and how it's a positive over a negative. You know, looking for my give a fuck, people are like, that's just negative. Absolutely not. This came about during COVID or right after COVID. And again, it was during COVID, I did a lot of soul searching. I had been doing soul searching prior to COVID. What's soul searching mean? Okay, my words are not coming out today. We'll still work through it. Anyway, what did that actually mean? And what was I doing? And why was I doing it? Well, sorry, everyone. Hold on one second. I'm having a moment here. Hold on. Sorry about that. As people would say, live radio, right? No. It's just that something was too far away. But going back to what I was saying, searching. I cannot get my words out. Before COVID, it wasn't a spiritual thing because I'm really ignorant when it comes to spirituality or religion or anything to that nature. But what I had done is taken on a career that would cause you to second guess yourself all day, every day. And as many years as you are within the legal profession, it continues on even to after you decide to get out. And then you realize you're pulled into it because it's such a unique profession. Like, for instance, if you go to, let's say, Amazon, you're working at Amazon and you're doing a computer analysis or something legal for Amazon, 90% of the time they will have a software program that you will work. So you learn their systems, right? The same with any other, like, you know, you work for the phone company or whatever the case may be. I'm not knocking any of that because right now if I had to go to Amazon, I'd have to learn their system. But the legal profession is like another language. And a lot of people don't understand it because it doesn't make sense. And as a result, because it doesn't make sense, the ones that understand it, who've gone to school with it, we've invested lots of time into it. Not only that, we see life so differently. I have a quick story. I worked at the Directors Guild for America. You guys, best job in the world. If you want a great job, run to the guild. They are awesome, okay? They have to be awesome. But anyway, what was I going to say about the guild? Oh, see, it just went away. It was a great metaphor. Oh shoot! Oh, there it is. There it came out. I must be tired. Okay. Anyway, so I'm working at the Directors Guild of America, and one thing about the Directors Guild, I worked in the legal department, and anything about a guild. When you see a billboard, there are guilds that got together to show the actor's name, the director's name, and just the whole formatting thing. You would never know that unless you worked for a guild, and you would never know other things like when you go to the movies, how everything is, you know, set up on the screens, the names, and all that. Again, if those are not in compliance with the other guilds or or just in compliance at all, directors for sure can stop a movie from being released. And so can an actor, and so can a writer, because these guilds have to get together. In fact, I was on a particular case where Wes Cravens, the director, stopped the release of one of the movies a long time ago. But that's not what I was going to talk about there. I went to the movies after working for the Directors Guild, and all I saw were all the things that were blaring that I knew about. Okay, I was checking this. Okay, this could be released. It was like crazy, right? I could never watch a movie again, or I could never look at a billboard again. And then sometimes I would look at a billboard and go, oh, they're not in compliance. They must have had some type of addendum, because that name should not be the middle. You guys think that the actor, the main actor's name is in the middle? It ain't. It's to the left or the right. I can't quite remember, but it's not the middle. Anyway, so I'm saying that to say the legal profession's the same way. Once you get in it, all you do is see it. You see it from the realms of people going out and marching, making change, believing. In the legal profession or politics, they just simply say, well, you know, we'll wear them down. We'll let them do that, but we'll just ignore them. That's what large firms do to sole practitioners or small firms or civil rights attorneys and things of that nature when they have a lot of money. In fact, let's skip for a second. Didn't, what was his name? The guy that owns X now? Mary, you know the name. My brain's gone. Anyway, what did he say just recently about the advertisers? Fuck them. They don't have to advertise it on Twitter. I don't give a fuck. I got money. And Elon Musk. And it's kind of like, wow, that's big. That's gangster. But that's what a lot of big companies, deep pockets, will do. They will just break you down. And ultimately, small people will win. But you have no idea. I worked in a lot of small offices, and we want millions and millions and millions of dollars. But you have no idea what it does to the body, the soul, the mental. They kick your ass. And they really do. And every trial I have come out of, I'm like, I hate this field. You know, we had another one with Chantix and Pfizer. Yes, the Pfizer that jumped into the COVID vaccine, right? Pfizer. You guys, if you knew the truth about Pfizer, you'd be fuck that. It's crazy. For instance, Pfizer can come up with a medication for people to stop smoking. And they will advertise it to psychiatrists that, what is it, prescribe medication to people who are what? Schizophrenic, bipolar, depression, so on and so forth. Our client was bipolar. They didn't even look into his history. He'd been with another psychiatrist for 17 years. One day he's on a trip, he goes to a particular university or hospital that has a university attached, if you understand what I'm saying. And ultimately, he was a smoker, a heavy smoker. It was a part of his schizophrenia. If you know any schizophrenia, I know that sounds really strange. The smoking of the movement of the hand is a part of the disease. Okay, or the addiction, it's really kind of weird. Anyway, he just one day decided to stop smoking. And as a result, they gave him Chantix, and they never tested it on anyone that was bipolar or schizophrenic in that nature. He had an episode and ultimately ended up in the county jail because he beat up his uncle, I believe. And in the county jail, New Year's Eve, there's so much noise going on and acting crazy. He gouged out his eyeballs. Yeah, he gouged them out. And for 5 years, we had to fight with Pfizer to say, listen, this is your fault. Boy, they came at this from so many different ways. But ultimately, we were able to prevail. I'm unaware of the amount of money. It was that much. It was crazy. But, you know, it was like, wow, this is crazy. And the reason I'm bringing that up is because I don't think people really understand the pressure people in the legal profession have on them. I'm watching it now. I'm working at another firm. But I'm watching these young attorneys that they start off now $200,000. If you guys think $200,000 is a lot of money coming out of college, it really isn't. But it's good when you just pass the bar. But then they work you like a mule. And then by the time you're tired, you're at $250,000. And then all you know is the law. Where are you going to go from there? You're just going to keep at that firm or other firms until you find space in your brain to go, wait, what's going on here? Why is this happening? And ultimately, that doesn't happen. Did you guys know the rate of suicide for attorneys, all colors. You don't have to divide colors. The age 52, 51, 52, if they've been practicing for 20 years from that time, even 20, depending on when you got into the legal profession, they commit suicide. It's the highest suicide rate in the world. No one talks about that. And the reason being, because they've seen everything. They've done everything. Money is nothing. They put their kids through school. They see their wives once in a while or husbands once in a while. And then all of a sudden they come of age and they're starting to get pushed out of their positions. No one really cares because they just need to put a young person in that position so they can continue making money. And they get rid of the old folks in a real nice way. They just kind of slither you out. But you're 51, 52. You're like, shit, I'm not over there. You're out of here. And you know nothing else. Because you can, but you can go on to the board of directors of things and you can try to be of use because you have knowledge regarding the law. You've been practicing law or you're familiar with the law and the politics, but you stand out like a sore thumb when you try to get on a board of any type of director, any type of board and give advice because a lot of those people are sitting there in a dream. We can do this, we can do that. And you're sitting there going, oh man. And then when you try to bring to attention all the things that need to be done, no one wants to hear that. No one wants to work that hard. Just like they're talking about Black Lives Matter, the proper Black Lives Matter. I know there's some attachments to that that have some positivity. There's a whole bunch of walking and talking. But it's doing what I have done, such as I'm working in a field I really don't like, but I wouldn't change it for the world. Because now if someone were to come to me, hey, Shirley, tell me about the law, I can give them what they need to survive. Cold ass profession. It's cold. But at least I knew how to survive. I wouldn't be able to tell people how to survive if I wasn't in it. So with all due respect, BLM, I love that you're out there in Black Lives Matter. My question to you is, what did you put forward in motion to make it matter? To make it matter. Not just Black Lives Matter. Okay, fine. Whatever. How do we make it matter? No one wants to go into the police department to change how that works out. You know why? I was a criminal justice major. Cal State LA, Tuesday and Thursday, sat with every cop, every CHP in that area who was going to school to move up. And I heard what they said all day long. They didn't. They weren't worried about me. They definitely didn't think I was going to be, a threat. I went on a ride along, and I see what it is on that street. Scary. But I also realized that cops are human. When I heard them in the classroom, they're all trying to get A's, and so they're talking about how they do things, why they do things. Let me help you guys out. They're human. Believe it or not, people don't like to hear that. Number two, if you saw half the shit they see all day long from day one, you'd be on antidepressants too, and most of them are. In addition to that, I do employment law, so I have seen how officers will treat other officers within their own precinct. Try that, right? And then you go home and you love your wife, but she's nagging that the kids may get on her nerves. She wants to take 2 days off. And you're like, I don't even understand that. Or your husband, I don't even understand that, right? Then you try to go to a restaurant. This is all true stuff. I know this is a little depressing, and I'll pick it up. But you'll go to a restaurant. You know, they can't even go to restaurants, you guys. There's certain places they can go to because they're afraid that someone will poison them or kill them. That's why a lot of them in California live in Simi Valley. It's a safe spot, safe place. Can you imagine living like that? And there's more to it. So getting your heart hardened is a fast thing to do. But how many of us have gone into the police department and made change? No. A lot of officers I've seen just become accustomed to and a part of the culture. So as I've gotten older, and I'm privileged to be 57 years of age, there's a few people that have balls, and they're not just men. There are a few people that walk that walk and cry that cry. I know a few of them. Well, that is funny. I have my tax person, my accountant, and every year I bring my taxes to him. He's like, oh, Shirley, you reinvented yourself again. You reinvented yourself again. And he always would motivate me because he would see some years I'd make $2, other years I'd make $100,000. Didn't matter. He was like, you're always reinventing yourself. No matter what, every year I'm wondering what's going to happen to Shirley. And somehow you make it. And that's true. Because we have balls. But what happens, though, is that I can't carry the world with all my balls. In fact, first, I don't even have balls, technically, so I'm just gluing balls on. That's funny. I'm gluing them, and they're heavy. That's funny to me. But it's heavy, right? A lot of people can look afar and say, God, how did they do that? I wish I could do that. I mean, you guys, we even have assistants now with AI and all kinds of things to get things in order so you can understand what you're talking about and understand the movement that needs to take place in order to change the depth of politics, legal, the police department, any other, you know, area, you know, but we are afraid of it. That's kind of strange. We're afraid of AI, but yet we use our smartphones. So again, there are few that truly carry the torch of moving forward, why they drag their balls, because we got to carry balls for everyone else that's afraid to do it. But what happens when my time is up, or other people I know, like I can say this, Jake King, carries a lot of balls. I've never seen a man, I mean, I've known this man personally, and I've never seen a man go from no dollars to whatever and continue to make it happen. I know a man that might have $10 and will give you $8. Not all of it, though, because that nigga need them $2 to go play dominoes and make some shit happen or whatever the case may be. But how many of us are left? I don't know. I started the show off saying I was thinking about my family, and I definitely am thinking about my family. Closest cousins this weekend. No, this week. And she mentioned to me this job she's been at for a very, very long time is closing. I guess they're dissolving. It's a company that did something with grants or money or something kind of important. And she was the, she did everything. She was the, you know, my words aren't coming out today, but she was what they needed. She was awesome. She created it. She was the soul of it, and she loved it. But then all of a sudden, it's closing down. And so weird. You know, my cousin just finished getting a couple of degrees, all preparing her for this. I didn't know they were going to shut down. Well, your spirit must have, because, nigga, you went to school to get this another degree that's going to put you in another level. What's going on? You didn't have to know. Well, did you think you should stay with those people for life? You know me. 47 jobs later, you can best believe I am not attached to shit. But I heard her for first, just like, and she didn't have to say the word, I'm scared. Hey, you know, and my family call me Sissy. Hey, Sissy, I need to talk to you. Let's go on vacation. I need to hear what you have to say. You know, you motivate me. You do this. And to hear a family member say that I motivate them is huge. I talk about my family a lot, directly and indirectly. Smartest people I ever met in my life. I think I'm adopted. But for them to say I've done something for them is huge. I want everybody to go back to family member and just listen to your family as if they weren't your family, just your friends. I think we miss out on a lot of friends because we think our family are not friends. Because sometimes they ain't, but sometimes they are. So I asked my very, very best cousin in the world, send me your resume. A few days ago. I haven't received it. Now, normally, Shirley would call and be like, girl, what's the problem? Come on, let's move. You know, bring it down. Come on, now, I got you. I'm older now. I get it. It takes time. It's so funny. You get older, it takes time, but you claim you don't have that much time because you have more time behind you than you do in front of you, but you need the time in order to make the decision to move forward. It's so strange when you get older. It's just a piece of heaven. It's so strange. Tell you how this energy world works. The last time I saw my cousin, well, not the last time, but years ago, about 30 years ago, I think she introduced me to Joyce Meyer's Ministries. I love me some Joyce. You guys don't know anything about her. That bitch is funny as hell. She's cool. And about 2 or 3 months ago, I decided to get her mailing stuff because she always sends some good stuff. So today, I opened this up right before my show, and this is for my cousin. It's a little thing that she sends out with a little quote. And it says, don't let fear rule your life. Don't let fear rule your life. Now, again, normally, I'd be like, that's stupid. Okay, yeah, I'm fearing shit, right? But sometimes you need to hear it in a context of love, a remembrance, because she knows about Miss Joyce Myers, and she knows this quote is what she needed to hear. So I'm sure that after she hears the show, or she hears about that show, she'll be listening to Joyce, and she'll get that resume out, and she'll get to what she has to get through fear. Fear when you get older is not like, oh, I'm so scared. We ain't scared shit when you're older, because we've seen it all. We'll just shoot you on Tuesdays, because, you know, you fuck with me on Thursday, I'm coming for you on Tuesday. It takes a minute. So fear is not that fear. Fear is this internal talk in your head. Even I have it. I'm like, what? What? What the hell? Society has made it seem like as we get older, we are not worthy. We are not entitled to reinvent ourselves. We are not entitled to release a position and slowly move into another in our 50s and 60s. We're supposed to just give in and be angered that the younger generation is taking our positions. But those younger generation are our children, our grandchildren, our cousins, our nieces, our nephews, our brothers, our sisters. So how can we be upset with that? Especially if you've been one to pave the way for that our generational family to go to law school or to do grant writing or to do all these things that we feel we're being pushed out of because we are older. I don't know. I think I'm lucky to be around people that, you know, I could reinvent myself. What that meant was 90% of my life, my reputation is I'm irresponsible. I don't finance money well. I'm this, I'm that. I'm just a war. One person said, just go to school to defer my loans, probably at some point. Big flake and all that. No. Because if I hadn't, I would have died at 21. Not physically, but spiritually. Or whatever, out of taking a job and been like, oh, this is it. They don't want us to get out and reinvent ourselves. Why would they do that? But yet Elon Musk can go from, I have a car, I have this, I'm just going to buy X. Fuck you guys, right? He's constantly reinventing himself. Why can't we do that without being called like flakes or you know, whatever? Now, there was something I talked about last week, which is imperative when you are going to reinvent yourself. There are certain things that you have to have in play, which is consistency, the ability to make good choices, make choices, make a decision. They might not be perfect, but make it. And the one that is so important, relationships. And that includes family. Just because we're blood, I have always looked at like I have to like my family because they're blood. No, you should like them because they're human. What about my family between the cooking and their brains? I just, you guys, the family reunions, I just sit back and be like, wow. I do look like, Mom, are you sure I belong to this family? Let's talk about that. If you are going to make, well, you know, reinvent yourself. Oh, I want to add this. After COVID, we all have to reinvent or readjust who we were before COVID. Everything has changed. We are all on the same path. We are all on the same playing field. I promise you, I was about to zoom out of, you know, legally in order. Well, the legal profession in general. I'm like, okay, one more year, do this, this, and that. I was ready. I knew if I got another job, I've been doing it for 30, 35 years. I got this. Everything changed, buddy, old boy. After COVID, when I started going back to work, I was like, oh, new programs? What the hell is this? The resistance was causing problems till I released and went along with the change. Because again, I've always reinvented myself. That didn't mean I wanted to reinvent myself after COVID. I thought that was bullshit. It did. So all of us that are older, we are at the same place as the young kids, the younger ones, the millennials, right? And the Gen Zs, Gen X, I don't know what all that is. But they have a whole different mind frame. They like, I ain't working that hard. You should see some of the people in legal profession that are young. They be on their phone. They don't care. They're like, what? They really don't care. I'll do an OnlyFans looking at my motherfucker. What y'all going to say, right? So they have a whole different thing. I don't know what society is going to do with that generation when it comes to structure for work. They have a hard time figuring out who they're going to sleep with. The fluid thing is not cute. Pick. Make a decision, right? Be committed. Those things are key. But we're getting to the point where you guys stop. Everyone stop. We're all at the same place. I don't care what you do, whether you're working at Target or you're in politics. I know they are fucked up in D.C. They can't use TikTok. They probably can't use AI. They can't use the internet. They back in the 1960s. They ain't working no more. Can you imagine? I'm at a firm that's been around 80 years. And it feels like they've been around for 80 years. If you get stuck in a situation that is back and that is so, hasn't moved forward, every hour, every day, every minute, every second you sit there, you are losing your worth. It is so true. You are losing your knowledge when you go somewhere that's not progressing, moving forward. And, you know, it's scary as hell. Yesterday I was home and I said, well, let me look into legal EI. What's going on here? It just scared me. I was like, oh, God, they're going to take my job. Lord, have mercy. One thing AI hasn't gotten yet is the way I think when I write. I tell stories. But when I was in law school, they said, storytelling, no, get out. Take away all those, you know, all that beautiful stuff. Just take it away, throw it away, black and white. No, I tell stories. And with the help of AI, they might show me the law so I understand it better. They show me some cases where I understand it better. But then I have to sit back because I know I've already confirmed all that information's true. I know some of it, just didn't know how to put it together, right? And then I sit back and I have the ability to draw everyone in because I tell a story. That's how I learned the law. The first attorney I ever worked with who's a litigator said, Shirley, do you know how to do this? I'm like, no, dude. In fact, I came to quit because I went to paralegal school and I don't know what I'm doing. He said, oh, okay, well, give me a year and then quit. Within a year, I come back, sit at his table, and I've been a legal paralegal litigator forever. Okay, but he said, it's a story, Shirley. A pleading is pleading upon the court. Everything you know, it's a story. Never forget the story. And I say that to say we are all going through whatever we're going through, but we're a story. Mine, I got a lot of chapters. I got more to go. But even if you haven't started your chapters, remember your story. And this is where the word fluid to me is so sensational. You can move into any direction you want to go and carry on with any chapters. You can move. Life is in movement now. And we're all on the same page because COVID shocked us shitless and stilled our minds and souls. I will continue to carry my glued-on balls because that's what I want to do. And I will continue to have friends like Mr. King and my brother, who's my friend, and BJ and Curtis and Cutter and Anna and all my favorites and the Bakers. God, you guys don't even know. I wish I was closer to my family. But at least this show will know that I talk about them because they're in my heart 24/7. I'm being told I have 90 seconds, so my show's about to end. I'm sorry. I know the show should have been more upbeat, but sometimes you just got to get right down to the nitty-gritty and make things happen. Okay, there's a couple things. I have my little 90 minutes. I want to remind people of a couple things. As you are making, if you're going to reinvent yourself, which just means just moving fluidly into this new way of life because everything has shifted, be committed. Make decisions. They don't have to always be right, but they have to be made. And he told me that the person, the true leader, makes decisions. And the other thing is relationships. Everywhere you go, make a relationship so you can always come back and ask and work through. I never knew what relationships were about. I had ex-boyfriends that were relationships. That works too, but working relationships work even better, right? Just in case you break up. I also want to end this by saying this to all my family, friends, and even myself. And I'll read this once again by Joyce Meyer's Ministries, or just Joyce Meyer, sorry. Don't let fear rule your life. I like that. Fucking fight like a rock star and continue to look for your give a fuck. Okay, you guys, that's the show for this week. I want everyone to continue making great, great memories and having a great week. And oh my God, episode 71 next week. Until then, you guys take care of yourselves. Have a great week. I'm out. Bye. Oops. Let's go to the loop.